everyone. This is Bethany with Rooftops. I want to thank you for joining me today. My prayer is that this would encourage you, it would challenge you to activate your own faith as you hear God speak to you. And today we're going to be talking about gifts. Who doesn't love a gift, right? Unless like maybe it's a white elephant gift or something. I don't know. Maybe the white elephant parties that you've been to have been amazing, but most of the ones that I've been to are just like fun and silly. And so you get really weird and random gifts. Like I definitely wouldn't call them treasures, although it was a good time. But I'm not talking about those kind of gifts. I'm talking about a good and perfect gifts. And I think we would all want to receive a gift that was good and was perfect. And so it happens to be the very kind of gifts that God gives out. He specializes in giving good and perfect gifts. In James 1:17, he says, "Whatever's good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens." And so a good gift, God's intention in giving a good gift, I know this is like, sounds pretty, it is what it is, but His intention in giving a good gift is that it would literally be good for you, that it would be good for you. And if he's giving out perfect gifts, then that means they're personal for you. It means that word perfect, that they're meant to bring out a completeness or a wholeness in your life. And so the gifts that God gives us, here's the tricky part, can sometimes be unrecognizable. Like we don't realize something is a gift from God because it doesn't come the way that we thought it would come. It doesn't show up the way that we thought it would show up. We know that Jesus is the best gift ever, but people didn't just recognize him immediately as the Messiah or the Savior of the world. A second reason I think that sometimes when God gives us a gift, they can kind of seem unappealing or unattractive, if you will. Like initially, gifts just don't look good and perfect up front all the time, at least for what I found. Sometimes they show up in a package that does not adequately represent the significance of what's inside, the significance of the gift. In Isaiah 53:2, this is referring to Jesus, and it says, "My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him." Wow, like nothing to attract us to Jesus? It wasn't until Jesus was grown, until he went to the cross, until he died, after he was resurrected, for many people, it took that for them to appreciate and recognize and see the beauty of God's grace through the gift of his son. And when we fail to recognize a gift, what happens is we also deny that gift honor. Back to Isaiah 53:3. It says this about Jesus: "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not." It means that we did not honor him. We did not honor the gift that God was sending to us. And Jesus said this about himself in Mark 6:4, "Prophet is honored everywhere, except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family." So obviously, the problem with not recognizing or honoring the gifts that God is trying to give us is that we're unable to receive them. I mean, you're not going to receive something if you don't even realize it's a gift to you. It's been sent to you. And so it's not because he's not giving gifts. It's not because God doesn't have gifts for us, but it's because we can't see maybe what's right in front of us, that it is a gift. So why do we have trouble seeing a gift from God that's been sent to us? Like, why isn't it just clear? I think the main reason is because gifts from God come in an infancy stage. Okay, as I was saying earlier, the greatest gift that God has ever given is his son. And we know by reading the Bible that Jesus, he came as a baby. Like he didn't come on the scene as a full-grown Messiah. No, he was born in just a lowly manger. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in some fancy place. He wasn't packaged as a king. Okay, in Zechariah 4:10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." I love that. So here's the thing that we need to know about the gifts that God is wanting to give us. The gifts of God have a progressive growth nature about them, okay? In Philippians 2:12 says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So we're told that we need to work out. We need to work hard to show the results of this gift of salvation that's been given to us, that we're to cultivate it, that we're to bring it into full effect. So we know that salvation is a free gift from God, but we're told to do something with it in order for it to progress. And something may come straight from God, like straight from heaven, and yet it can be in such a formative early stage. So the gift, often the gifts from God are moldable, they're shapeable. And how we relate to them and what we do with them will determine whether they fulfill their purpose and their potential in our lives. And so maybe you're thinking, "Oh, Bethany, are you telling me that I'm going to have to work with the gift that God has given me?" Yes, I am telling you that. But be encouraged. Like, think about Mary, okay? She was given this awesome privilege, this gift of conceiving the Son of God, of bearing the Son of God, but it didn't cause her to be extinct from motherhood and all the challenges that brings. Like, I'm sure she had many sleepless nights. I'm sure that she was rocking a crying baby, and I'm sure she was changing dirty diapers. So when we go back to James 1:17, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. But now I want to add just a little bit more context, okay, from the previous verses right before it. In verse 14, it says, "Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father." Like, whoa, wait a second. Do you notice like a sharp contrast here? I mean, what does temptation, sin, and death have to do with good and perfect gifts that God's giving us? Like, why are these verses sandwiched together? Why are they backed up to one another? Like, how does this relate? Well, one thing that I noticed is that, again, there's this progressive growth pattern happening. Like, there's this process that's occurring. So according to verse 14, when we're tempted to do something that's wrong, something that's unpleasing to God, and we have a desire for it, then we carry that sin out, right? We put action to it. And then as it grows, it will result in death, the Bible says. So we see there is a negative growth process, but there's also a positive growth process. And one day, not too long ago, I was at church and I was just worshiping the Lord. And as I opened my eyes, my daughter, my youngest daughter, actually was standing in front of me because she was leading worship that day. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, "She is a gift to you." And when he spoke this to me, I just started thinking, you know, about her life and really how I don't own her life, okay? She's not mine. I'm not her creator. I'm not the author and finisher of her faith. And I know that children are a blessing from God, but I also know that she's just mine on borrow, that ultimately she's God's child. And so I'm her mother, and I've taken care of her all of these years, and I've nurtured her, and I have put a lot of effort into this gift, which can make it easy, honestly, sometimes to forget that she's not mine because I've poured so much of my life, invested so much into her, into both of my kids, really. And so raising kids and training them up in the way of the Lord, which we try to do for both of our daughters, like, sacrifices were made, okay? Prayers were prayed. Battles were fought. Our faith was stretched. Because, you know, if you've ever had kids, like, you're praying, "God, I don't know what I'm doing. I need your help. God, my kid needs you." Like, I prayed probably more than ever, you know, as a mother. It stretched me. And so two of my greatest gifts from God, which are my daughters, I had to put great work. So great gifts equals great work. So maybe you're thinking, why wouldn't God just make it easy? Like, why wouldn't he just send these gifts to us that come in their finished state, like their perfected state? Well, first I would probably ask you, do you prefer to eat pre-packaged meals or freshly prepared meals? I think I would know the answer to that. There's something about the process. There's just something about preparation that makes the finished product so good, right? And when God gives you a gift, that gift is meant to be good and perfect for you. And as you work out the gift, it's meant to work out glory in you. It's meant to work out glory through you and in even touching the lives of others. Like, again, when God gave me the gifts of my daughters, raising them brought me closer to him. They made me better than who I was before. His gifts were working out a glory in me, and he's not done, right? He's getting glory now through their lives, and he's going to continue to bring glory to himself through their lives. And so I want to encourage you guys today to just take a look around you and, man, can you identify the gifts that God has given you? Do you know what those are? And if you do, when you identify them, don't be discouraged if they don't look the way that you thought they would look, if they didn't come in a package that you didn't think they would come in. Because when you put your effort into working them out, you will see they're good and they're perfect gifts for you, and they're actually just what you needed. That God's glory is going to be reflected in you through these gifts. And that's his will, that he's giving us these gifts because he loves us, because they're good and they're perfect for us, and because at some point we are going to see the glory of God reflected from these gifts in our lives as we work them. So work your gifts. And thank you guys for listening and joining me today for Rooftops.